Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Savior and brother, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 John chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you were to rank in order of importance the Christmas traditions that we've been looking at over the past few Sundays in Advent, where would you put today's tradition in that ranking? Let's remember the ones we've gone through so far. We've considered gift giving, decorations, and Christmas carols. Today we consider family time. Where does that Christmas tradition rank if you were to rank them with the ones we've looked at during Advent? For those of you who are adults, especially those of you who are parents or grandparents, I'm guessing it would rank really, really high on that list. I think it's without question number one on my list. Pretty easy to think that and to say that that's number one on my list. In fact, if you were given a choice, you can have family time this Christmas with all of your family gathered together, but you get none of the other three that we've gone through. You get no gift giving, you get no decorations, and no Christmas carols. Would you still choose to have the family time and just give up the other three? I think I would make that decision very easily and say, yes, I would just have the family time. I don't necessarily need a Christmas tree. I don't necessarily need to have the Christmas carols or the gifts, even though those are all very important and fun parts of Christmas. Time with family during the Christmas season is that important. It's such a treasure that we'd probably give up many other parts of the Christmas celebration just to have that time with our family. This is not some revelation I came up with just this past week. This is not anything new to all of you and many people in our world, to think of how much that's emphasized even in the world. Think of the Christmas carols that sing about being home with our family for the holidays. I'll be home for Christmas. There's no place like home for the holidays, and so on and so on. There really is nothing like the warmth of being gathered together with family around the soft glow of the Christmas tree, opening presents, sharing love, and sharing joy with each other at Christmas. And that desire to be with family, especially during Christmas time, is good. It's an important part of our Christmas traditions. Is it, however, the most important part? Our family certainly is one of the greatest blessings that God has given us on this earth. Those of us who are separated from our families by miles and miles have a great appreciation for the joy that it brings us when we do get to spend time with our families during this time of year. But for many, it has become the main point of the holiday for people. It's become the reason for the season. Being with family, preparing the family meal, has become, in many people's eyes, a valid excuse for skipping the celebration of Jesus' birth, going to worship, praising him, and forgetting that this is what Christmas is all about, Jesus. When I think about this fact, that it does seem to be a temptation for many, I'm reminded of Jesus' words of warning when he once said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Ever wonder why Jesus said those words? Why did he have to say such a thing? Is it because family and family time really isn't that important? Actually, it's the complete opposite. It's because it's so important, and because it's such a blessing, Jesus has to give us this warning. He knows our human nature. He knows that we love to elevate the gift above the giver. And the greater the gift, the greater the temptation to elevate that gift above the giver. And what a temptation this is. It is, again, very good and right that we love our families deeply. We would literally do anything for them. We'll sacrifice money, time, even give up life itself for them. But for Jesus, would we give him an hour or two at Christmas or on a Sunday? Is that just too much to ask? Yes, as important as family is and as great a blessing as our families are and as family time is, it is not what Christmas is all about. Jesus is. I'd like to remind us today, as we look at this text and we're reminded of some of the thoughts in our gospel reading for today, that we can truly have a blessed Christmas no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, because of two particular families that are in truth more important, in a sense, than our earthly family. The first family is the one that was mentioned in our gospel reading and in some of the gospel readings that we've had over the past few weeks. As we review the Christmas story, we hear about this family. It's recorded for us in the gospels. We hear about a humble mother, Mary, who accepted the angel's words that she would bear God's holy son, Jesus, and said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." We see a faithful father, Joseph, who believed the angel's words that this child Mary had conceived was not a result of unfaithfulness, but was actually the Son of God conceived in her miraculously by the Holy Spirit. And he did not hesitate to take Mary as his wife and make Jesus his legal son and named him Jesus. Most importantly, we hear about that child. The child whom God's heavenly angels proclaimed would be a savior for all people, a savior from sin, who would bring peace and goodwill between God and mankind by taking the punishment for mankind's sins upon himself on that cross. Well, the Christmas story that's recorded for us in the Gospels also reminds us of the other important family member that we hear about at Christmas time and throughout the year. A father that is more important even than Joseph, who's mentioned in the Christmas accounts. That father, of course, is God the Father. Because of his love, because of his faithfulness to us, he has made us members of a second family that was spoken of in our sermon text for today. Verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father," of course speaking of our Heavenly Father, "what love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." That is the most important family we belong to. It's even more important than our earthly families, and we know what a great blessing they are. Listen again to John's incredible words. He says in verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God." He doesn't say when we get to heaven we'll be children of God, but he says now we are children of God. In his word, God gives us a number of incredible titles and names. He says that we are his servants. We are a holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, his soldiers. But the dearest of them as of all in the scriptures is the fact that he calls us his children. That's not just some honorary title either. He has literally adopted us into his family, making us his sons and daughters, and therefore brothers and sisters of Jesus. How? Well, the last verse of our text tells us, first of all, it was through Jesus and through the forgiveness he came to bring us when he came to earth as one of us at Christmas. Verse 5 of our text says, he, Jesus, was manifested, that is, made known, to take away our sins. That forgiveness was made our own, and our adoption papers were signed, sealed, and delivered to us personally, so to speak, when God's Holy Spirit worked in our hearts the miracle of faith, whether it was at our baptism or sometime later in life, when the Holy Spirit came to us through the Word of God and brought us to faith. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, "For you are all sons, that is, heirs of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That is an incredible gift that we've been given. A gift we should celebrate at Christmas. Our adoption into God's family through our Savior and our brother, Jesus Christ. Why is it that we don't always realize just what an incredible gift it is that we are adopted into God's family, that we are his children? Well, part of the reason, John tells us, is that we can't even fully conceptualize this blessing this side of heaven. Ever seen a gift under the Christmas tree that you could not wait to open? Maybe the size of the package got you excited, wondering and anticipating, what in the world could that be? That looks really big, or that looks really extravagant, or it's very weirdly shaped. I wonder what it is. Do you remember how you couldn't wait to open that particular gift? Well, in a sense, that's what John is saying about this great gift of our adoption into God's family. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What exactly is that going to be like and feel like, being God's glorified children, being there with Jesus? He says we don't even know for sure yet. We don't even know fully yet. But we will when we are like him and see him as he is. At times in life, it may not seem like being a child of God is much of a great gift at all. Oftentimes it actually means we will be called to suffer or give up some of the desires and pleasures that we have for the sake of God and his kingdom. We may be misunderstood. We may be mistreated, abused by this world, possibly even by some of our own earthly family members because of our faith in Christ Jesus. At times we may not feel like we're that special, or that we're loved, or that we are completely and totally 100% the children of God. But as John tells us, when Jesus is revealed, that is, when he comes again on that last day, we will know. He goes on to say, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. What's that going to be like? Much like that gift that we just wonder, what's that going to be like? What's going to be in that package? What is it going to be like to be like Jesus, to see Jesus as he really is? What's it going to feel like to have our bodies perfectly glorified? What's it going to be like to live in perfect joy and peace without sin, without sorrow, without death, without any sickness for all eternity? John says, we don't really know yet. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Our ultimate glorification in heaven as God's children is like the biggest, shiniest, most exciting present ever to sit under a Christmas tree. And it is a gift that has a tag on it for you. It's waiting for us, not under a Christmas tree, but under the tree of the cross. That is where the great gift of our adoption as God's children, when we were brought into God's family, that is where it happened. The other reason we don't always realize what an incredible gift it is to be adopted into God's family is because we don't often realize, or don't always realize, or understand, or remember where it is we were and what our situation was before we were made children of God. There was nothing we did to earn or deserve or contribute to this adoption. There's nothing we could do either. At our birth into this life, we were not born into God's family. We were born lost. We were born, the Bible says, spiritually dead. We were headed for more death, eternal death. In fact, the Bible actually tells us that by nature, we are enemies of God. We didn't come out the womb automatically loving Him, and by nature, we didn't even want to be rescued. But He loved us. Despite our unlovableness, despite our hostility toward Him, God came to us with His Son Jesus, saw us in the eternal cage of our sin, and had compassion on us. He chose us. He reached down into history and, as importantly, reached down into our history and adopted us into His family. He chose us. We did not choose Him. Listen again to His words, the words from our text. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Yes, our earthly family is a great blessing. It is a tremendous gift from God. Treasure your family. Treasure that family time you get with them over the holidays. Even if you don't get to see all of your family members, treasure the time you have with the ones you get to see. Tell them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. Remember what a joy and blessing it is to be able to celebrate the birth of our Savior with family. In this life, there are few blessings that are greater. But let's remember at Christmas time and always also our most important family, the family that has been made ours through faith, our spiritual family. God, our Father, Jesus, His Son, and we, His brothers and sisters, the sons and daughters of God, and brothers and sisters of each other through our faith in Christ. By faith, then, you and I have never spent a Christmas away from our family. None of us have. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, who you're with or not with, even if you're by yourself, through Christ, you will have family time for all eternity. Rejoice in that great gift and give praise to the giver. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.